David A. Price presents...
Hello, folks. Welcome to Marvel Noise, episode 408. I'm your host, Steve Raker, back on track after spending spring break in the negative zone. There's only so many bat wings you can eat, true believers. Marvel Noise is the semi-monthly podcast sponsored by Nobody. You can find, listen to, and download episodes past and present over on marvelnoise.com and get new episode announcements, see cover galleries, and give us feedback on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Now, we couldn't do this without the structural integrity of Derek Howard and his Deliberate Noise Network. So head over there to their website to find other fine podcasts that include Indie Comic Book Noise, where Andrew and Kevin, who will be on later, talk indie comics with Phil, and occasionally I still get on there too, you know, when the scheduling stars align. On this episode of Marvel Noise, Andrew and Kevin will be on to lead us through what will be our 20th installment covering the 90s New Warriors title. I swear, I thought we were going to end with original writer Fabian Nicieza's run, but Andrew bought the back issues, so... You could also think of it as our 7th Nova segment. Remember when we covered his first series from the 70s? Right up through the threads that were tied up in the Fantastic Four and ROM titles? Well, we hit Nova's entire second series here, which we fold back into the main Warriors book with New Warriors issue 60 before all is said and done. But that's a lot of 90s comics, and Marvel Noise seldom makes you swallow that pill alone, so face front, Merry Marvelite, and get your flippers and snorkel, because I've prepared part two of my deep dive, pun intended, into Namor the Submariner's solo stories, beginning with his split book stories in the 1960s from Tales to Astonish, which was a title he shared with the Incredible Hulk. Fun fact, back then, rival DC ran the newsstand distribution channels for comics, and Marvel was limited to a non-threatening number of titles. But hero after hero was a hit. So Marvel published a number of split titles, each featuring two different characters in 12-page tales. Before that, though, we just got back from seeing Ant-Man 3 Quantumania. I'm with Nick and Jack, two teenagers who are familiar with these characters more from the movies and the cartoons and stuff than from reading the source material. But we just got back from Ant-Man. And I gotta ask you guys, just like as a movie, not even thinking of that as like a superhero movie or Ant-Man or whatever, but just like as a movie, how was it just going and spending 2 hours to see a movie?
It was good. It was very action-packed and exciting.
You think so too?
Yeah, I think the scenes in it were very, like, detailed.
Now, how about the adventure that they put Ant-Man on? Was this a good one, or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this one was good.
So a good installment for, like, the next episode of Ant-Man. This was a good one?
Yeah, you could kind of tell, like, get a gist of what you think, or what the next one's going to be like.
With that in mind, how about how it connects with the rest of what you know about the Marvel Universe and the other characters and stuff? Was there enough connections, or did it seem like it was more just like an Ant-Man solo thing?
There were, like, some small connections, but I think it really just added more connections.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing or a...
Good thing, because that leaves with more possibilities of other movies to make.
So you don't necessarily have to go into this movie having known all kinds of stuff from the other ones. You could kind of just enjoy it as a kind of regular... I thought so, too, in that way. How about, like, the villain or villains? Villains good?
Yeah, the villains were good.
Yeah, all right, because the hero's only as good as the villain he faces, right?
Yeah.
Would have anything else? A good enough level of, like, humor and stuff, or too silly like some of the Thor movies get?
No, there was a good level of humor. There were, like, three or four parts I laughed pretty good at.
Think so too, Nick?
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
It was like just the right balance.
Of good balance? Humor to... All right. And the cast okay? They're not getting... they're all old now. Like, everybody's old. The old characters are old, and even the young character is old. Is that all right? Because Hollywood's always like, you gotta stay young, gotta stay young.
Yeah, I mean, if you want a real storyline, you can't have everyone be young all the time.
Yeah.
True that. All right, thanks, guys.
Whew, expressing thoughts is like torture to these kids. So, this time up for our second Namor installment, we've got Tales to Astonish 81 through 87, which ran from April to October of 1966. Tales to Astonish 81 was written by Stan Lee, as were all these issues, with art here by Gene Colan and Dick Ayers. Now, Namor's feeling betrayed by Dorma because he thinks she left with Kang, but she only left with Kang because she thinks that's what it took to save Namor, who right now she actually still thinks is dead, I believe. And Namor becomes a tyrant over this betrayal. He outlaws saying her name throughout Atlantis. He throws her relatives in the dungeon. He's outrageous. Then he uses the Observa coils to locate Krang. Why didn't they do this before? The Observa coils, of course. Krang turns he and Dorma's skin pink so that they can breathe air and blend in on the surface world. Namor decides to head in pursuit of them. And the next issue blurb boasts a confrontation with Iron Man. So when Tales to Astonish 82 opens up, we start with Namor coming out of the water, immediately confronted by Iron Man as the issue opens, and the rest of the installment is an awesome fight between the two. Now, Gene Colan got the flu 3 pages into this issue, so Jack Kirby penciled the rest of the issue, and so with this being an all-out fight, it's just powerful Kirby panel after powerful Kirby panel. Until Namor spots Krang's vessel out in the harbor and flies off after it as the issue ends. In Tales to Astonish 83, Namor chases after Krang's warship and fights them, and almost makes it to Dorma, but is blasted away. Now he's hit with the lobotomizer ray once he's knocked clear of Krang's ship, and this lobotomizer ray is fired by the Secret Empire's number one. As described last episode when we talked about the Hulk tales from these issues. Now, number one is going to use a controlled Namor against the Hulk. And, of course, you're thinking, oh, what a battle that'll be. Now, Namor got mind-controlled the last time he was on the surface, too. That time by the Puppet Master. And both that time and this, the villains saw Namor's exploits on the news and then just decided to, like, go after him and go mind-control him. It works every time. In Tales to Astonish 84, we've got the art team of Colan and Ayers, and number one sends the mind-controlled Submariner to slay the Hulk, who the police are also on the lookout for. Number one is sending Namor commands through this little transceiver that's worn on a chain around his neck. Namor gets spotted and recognized by the police and shot at and chased to the building rooftops. Number one tells Namor, you need a disguise. You gotta, you know, evade detection and orders him to break into a store and steal some street clothes. But that act draws the attention of the police, so there's more shooting, and there's actually a kind of cool go ahead and make my day moment with Namor and the police, but he escapes and decides to catch a movie. He's having a tough time keeping a low profile, but this movie scene crosses over with the Hulk feature in the same issue as we talked about last episode, which was kind of cool. They're each watching the news clips, that the reels that were shown before the movies. Number one starts asking Namor questions, and he's in the theater, and the conversation draws more attention to him, and he storms out. Like, number one wants him to keep a low profile, but he keeps, you know, blowing his cover. Namor just decides to doff his civvies, saying he'll hide his identity no longer, as if he, managed it for about 3 minutes, to be fair. All he's done is draw attention to himself, and he's no closer to destroying the Hulk, so he takes to the sky and is coincidentally spotted by Krang in his warship, who shoots Namor down, but the blast also returns his memory. Imperious Rex. In issue 85, we've got one of my favorite art pairings, Gene Colan inked by Bill Everett. He's on that short list, it's a really short list, of guys who could ink Colan, along with Tom Palmer and Wally Wood. Plus, anytime Everett is on Namor, you know, it's his creation. So Namor gets revived by the sea that he crashes into, and his memory is restored, and Number One's control is broken, which is just what Subby does to the transmitter medallion thing. So that's it for Number One using Namor to fight the Hulk. First of all, no fight ever happened. And secondly, he got spotted and chased at after every turn, every step of the way. It was a complete disaster. Number One tries to strengthen the signal to a secondary device in Namor's ear. Then he tries to broaden the signal. I mean, he tries everything, but it's a big fat nothing burger for Number One, who then meets his end when he panics and sets a timer for a bomb to catch the Hulk with, but he gets his Secret Empire robe caught in the door and blows himself up dead beyond recognition. Again, as we covered last episode in the Hulk boomerang material. Issue 86 features the art team of Jerry Grandinetti and Bill Everett. And this is a rare guest penciling gig at Marvel for Grandinetti, who did most of his work at the Distinguished Competition on a variety of titles, All-Star Western, House of Mystery, Men at War, and even both volumes of the legendary canceled comics Calvacade. But he did his most work on the G.I. Combat and Our Army at War titles, although he did contribute to a dozen or so issues of Marvel's humor mag, Crazy, and one issue of ARG, the short-lived color parody comic in the 70s. Of Marvel's, I should say. In issue 86, Krang decides he's going to toy with mankind for a while, like he's Ming the Merciless, before he returns to Atlantis to take over. None of this is doing much for Dorma's opinion of him. Krang uses the machinery of his ship to create a tidal wave that hits the island of Manhattan, like on a weekday when everyone's out and about, and it's a giant disaster. When the Submariner is spotted, he's figured to be the culprit, so Namor is again hunted and chased. Hey, he's the water guy, he must be behind it. Namor manages to anonymously tip off the Air Force to Krang's location, and while he and Dorma are out looking at the flood chaos firsthand, the Air Force destroys Krang's vessel, and then Krang and Dorma are netted, literally, and used as bait to lure Namor into a military trap. The thing is, Krang's treatment to himself and Dorma has worn off, and they're turning blue again in more ways than one. They're suffocating. Tales to Astonish 87 wraps this arc up with art accredited solely to Bill Everett, but it turns out he just did the layouts and just Namor's pencils and inks, with Marie Severin, John Romita, Frank Giacoa, Dick Ayers, and others lending their talents to get this tale out. Namor gets shelled when he steps into the crossfire of the trap that the military set up for him, but he still rescues Krang and Dorma and gets them back to the ocean in time for them to take a breath. A Subby was grazed by a mortar, though, so Krang takes advantage and puts up a fight when he gets his sea strength back. I'm finally besting Namor in unarmed combat! Just then, Vashti uses a convenient teleportation beam to bring the pair back to Atlantis, thanks to Dorma, who swam back and informed him what was going on. They've got the teleportation beam? Why didn't they just use that before? Along with the Omni detector or whatever the heck it was. With Namor back on his throne, he challenges Krang to single combat for the crown of Atlantis, which Namor already has on his head, mind you. And better yet, since Namor is stronger, he'll be unarmed, while Krang is allowed to armor up with whatever he can carry. Imperious Rex! I mean, Namor spends so much time trying to win back his throne that it's like he has forgotten how to hold on to it. Giving Krang this opportunity. And Krang tricks himself out. I mean, he's got this, like, chest armor on, and he's like, Namor can never prevail against this suit of magnesium chainmail armor worn over a protective electro-repellent chest shield. And my chief weapons shall be these forged steel gauntlets armed with deadly electronic knuckles. Surely there can be no doubt Namor is doomed. And man, once the battle begins, he gets to use each of these devices. And then Namor throws him into a wooden post, which takes Krang out. The final punishment, exile, which is basically what Krang called for and expected when Namor came up with this whole battle for the crown thing. So basically this whole battle was just about kicking Krang on the way out the door. So that's Tales to Astonish 81 to 87 and this second installment of Classic Submariner Tales, this time covering the period between April and October of 1966. More to come as I get to them. And now I pass the microphone off to Andrew as Kevin and I play along.
Stronger than a whale, he can swim anywhere.
He can breathe underwater and go flying through the air.
The Namor of Atlantis is the prince of the deep.
Welcome back, Marvel Noise listeners. Yes, it's that time again. It's our 20th segment in our deep dive New Warriors coverage. Whoa, 20 segments. That's quite a lot. I mean, we're not reaching Thunderbolts territory, but that title lasted twice as long.
I mean, so, you think we can hit 30?
No. So
I mean, if we cover the other series, the mini series,
no, they're all canceled.
The failed series.
They're all canceled, Kevin. This is a hard time.
They got canceled. What did they do?
We're coming on to hard times.
For brand new listeners, what this segment is we dialed back the clock to cover in depth the New Warriors segment, starting technically with Thor 411 and 412, but also New Warriors number one, marching all the way up after 19 previous segments. Now, this one, we're taking a bit of a departure. As we did with Thunderbolts, sometimes we have to ask ourselves to what extent the various non-New Warrior titles are going to be impacted and our extent and coverage. As we had hinted at last time, the sort of corner of the Marvel Universe, while being folded into the Spider-Man section, itself had actually expanded quite a bit. There were two ongoing series, a couple of limited series. Now, sometimes what we can do is lean on Marvel editorial when for things like their omnibus editions and things like that. I know Kevin doesn't agree with their decisions, but at least it provides a roadmap for what the appropriate crossover issues are. Now,
I kind of feel like since we have like covered Nova and his previous series, and Kevin and I covered Nova way back when with the Guardians, Abnett material years and years ago.
I need to reread that.
But Nova's always had a special place here on the Marvel Noise podcast, and rightly so, since last year we did his old 70s series. So, I mean, and Nova was the reason I was reading New Warriors at all. I mean, Namorita, the two characters that kind of came from somewhere. And so I think it makes sense that we kind of jag off and look at this next Nova series, which would be Nova's second solo series, right?
Yeah, we are going to take that detour. There was a Night Thrasher series we've so far passed on. But as Steve hinted at, Nova had a 17-issue run. And what particularly led us to this point was the previous issue. Sorry, when I say 17, I obviously mean 18. Because when we finished up on New Warriors number 59, it said, this is concluded in Nova number 18. And Kevin said, well, we got to read that and the ones leading up. And then he said, we got to read the whole series. And I said, well, had acquiesced on not reading the Justice Mini Limited series and the new and the Night Thrasher. Now, we did talk a little bit about Nova when there was the big crossover among all the titles, the Time and Time Again series. So we've had some experience of this. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. I was able to get a job lot of these things for about $1.40 an issue, which was a little steep, but that's with shipping and price and all that. I wouldn't necessarily suggest that as a good price point, but I couldn't pass it up for doing this for Marvel. You know, this is our thing. We got to have this element in. Unfortunately, except for the Time and Time Again series, we don't have these issues on the Unlimited yet. But maybe Marvel will do like a omnibus of it or something like that. I don't know what their plan is for those. I'd like to see them there. And I can unreservedly say, hey, you know, if you already got the Unlimited, go check it out. But I'm not sure I'm ready to tell people to go and run and buy all these issues out. But is our tradition.
Get them now before they become hot issues.
And not only that, but this is the reason that we took that detour on episode 406 a couple of episodes ago and covered those Avengers issues with Nebula and Supernova, because we knew once we decided we were going to do this, we knew we had to do that.
All right. Well, as is our tradition, although maybe I'm being a bit premature, but we left off. It's 1995. We're not going to recap New Warriors, New 59, who I don't think any of us were that into, except I will tell people, run out and get yourself a Gem Mint copy for a first appearance in that issue. Kevin didn't warn me about that, but this is going to be worth a fortune. Right, Kevin?
I thought that was 58.
No, 59 has the first appearance of the woman that can go through time.
They didn't have a cameo before that?
I don't think so. I think this is her first, 59 was her first official, but the story in the issue doesn't matter for us, but what matters is at the end of the resolution, our new warriors, sans Nova, get a call from his girlfriend saying he's in trouble and they need to race to his aid. And then that led Andy to read 18 issues of Nova. Now, what's curious about Nova that jumps out right away is Marvel calls this Nova Volume 1. And I'm like, so I guess the other series is like Volume None.
It was the man called Nova, the previous series. something like that.
Does someone shelve that on their shelves, or is My Comic Shop listed as the man called Nova?
The indicias mattered. But that's why I think, with all the different softwares for cataloging comics and series and collections and everything that exist now, I think it makes sense that a lot of them have gone with the route of saying first series, second series, third series, and gotten away from the volume one, volume two.
I think the volumes are wrong anyways, because I remember Silver Surfer, they'll be like, he's on volume three when he gets to that, 1988 series or something? They're counting like that one shot as a volume. I'm like, that's wrong.
Yeah, you can't have that.
So I know people do that, but I'm like, I would rather just go by the year now, like it's the 1994 series or something, because I'm like, then that eliminates all the weirdness.
Well, the nice part for us is this is his second, the character, as we talked about in those recent Nova segments, Steve referenced, the character had that long hiatus, so this is a nice one. And I will say, I might get a little harsh on some of this, so I want to say, just from the outset, I think it was a smart idea to bring back this character, bring back his supporting cast, bring back his villains, and kind of like that's a nice, I don't think they executed it well, but I thought that was a good idea. I mean, part of the issue for me personally, and you guys can jump in, is Nova's supporting cast was pretty blah. Like, I couldn't tell you the difference between his two Caps and Bernie, or like they seem to be the same guy pretty much. I mean,
my disappointment was there was no Mike Burley. Like, where's Mike Burley, right? He was the Flash Thompson bully type. You were the guy who wrote in. But you know, he had a little high school cast, yes. And he had his family. And his family were more of characters in that first series, too. And really what the thing is just the first series had more characterization, period. That's the problem here. Other than Nova himself being going off half-cocked a lot, being a real hotshot, nobody really has any opportunity for any character moments, really, because everything is done so 90s wham-bam, you know, I'm being attacked. Like, that's like the plot to almost every issue is that, like, he's on a date, he's with his family, he's visiting with his friends, he's doing his job, he's walking down the street, he's at church, and he gets attacked. Like, gets attacked by this guy, that guy, the other guy. But it just, there's not any time where, I mean, maybe it's a limitation of the writers. You've got Fabian Nicieza for the first 7 issues, but after that, the artist, Chris Marininen, takes over as the writer. And maybe it's just a fail, you know, a product of it being the 90s and a failing of having a new artist writer. But there's very little real writing going on here. It's more like smashing action figures together.
I think I prefer the Marininen issues to the Fabian ones. I also felt that they didn't do a good job. Like you say, Nova's characterization just comes off as unpleasant. Marvel traditionally can have brash or arrogant or hot-headed characters, but they always, like you say, give that space to add that other dimension that just makes him not be annoying. Like, now he's just this on all the time annoying guy who's like, I don't really know that I'm rooting for Nova most of the time, which is a bit of an issue, but certainly I do like how number one is a nice shine. Yeah, he's going to get really, but number one is one of those shiny covers.
Did you?
Because I missed this live.
Mine's definitely the foil one.
I wasn't around for that, so it's fun for me to look at these things now. And like, I like to twist it a little bit, you know, like you shimmy it back and forth to see the lighting on it. But this one is really just, and I think it's smart, it's just basically recapping. Half of it's recapping his first series, which makes sense. And the rest of it is, like Steve said, a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah.
Where he gets beat up and thrown into the meat grinder. But it is really nonsensical. He does make his only few decent points about how this is done as a test. We don't know it's a test from the jump.
So almost testing.
He ends up, like, risking civilians and collateral damage and everything. And
he has to fight this Shi'ar like commando squad. And then he has to fight Gladiator from the Imperial Guard. So there's massive damage and, you know, there's no motive. There's no actual real reason for any of this to be happening. So you do the old writer caveat. Oh, we were just testing you. But then there was no really even reason for that. Well, why were you testing me? Well, we just want to make sure you're on our side. Okay, I'm on your side. There was no, it was a lot of nothing.
I think the Nova 00 or Nova Infinity has more of a reason, but it's like everyone goes about things in like the most jerky way possible.
Yeah, I would say the only thing you need from issue one is the reintroduction of Queen Adora or Princess Adora, who is 80% legs in this. Thank you, 90s.
Woohoo!
Is it really 80% legs? So you're saying a Liefeld version of Enchantress was 95% legs? Then?
She was always a cutie, though. Come on.
She was, but this is not my idea of a idealized perfect form. So we're going to have to disagree.
Fantastic Four, she first appeared and popped out. Speaking alien languages, but like, you know,
Nobody thought she was a threat because she was beautiful.
I agree. She's a cutie. I'm just saying in this version, this is not the sort of depiction of women I find particularly attractive.
And then
I feel like the legs are too weirdly proportioned to the body.
The her right-hand man is the guy who was the supernova.
Yeah, Garth and Saul. That's the other important. It's her and Garth and Saul who's now working back for them. That's kind of all you need to know is it's a reboot. They explain his old series, has a cool cover, and Queen Adora is working with Garth and Saul, and Nova's back at kind of the status quo. He's hooking up with he's going to, you know, get together with his supporting cast, who we haven't seen in a while, and it's going to be great. Caps. Steve, you love Caps.
Good old Caps.
Who's like your favorite
guy?
But
no Cap.
I know, it's like, did I care about any of these guys reading the original Nova series? I might even say that this Nova series is better than the original series. But I don't know, it's like once I saw those characters after reading about them in the original series, I'm like, oh, that's familiar. Caps and all these guys. I'm like, yes, that feels comfortable.
That's the fun thing about like continuity, I said, right?
Yeah, it's fun to. It's a smart idea. We've aged them up. They're now in college. We're moving past the high school. We're, you know, we can have slightly different stories. We're gonna give him his own crew back. I mean, maybe they could have. In some sense, he does have his new crew because he has his girlfriend. I mean, he also has named Marita.
Yeah.
But that gives him a bit of a new side too, and that's the first one. I am straight up. Just going to tell you to skip issue 2.
It's a done in one.
Issue 3 is the one you skip.
Rich, I think both of them, but in
issue 3
quickly.
Is
issue 2, Rich's girlfriend has a roommate and he thinks it's her, but turns out to be the roommate. The roommate is this dominatrix, murderous, punisher type lady called Tailhook after the news story of the day, because she was like sexually harassed by a bunch of generals or something, and she kills herself at the end.
I think the shocking thing is the cover promises a different type of story, and if you're looking for that type of fan, once they read the story, that's not what they're getting.
Yeah, it's just horribly, I thought it was poorly executed. That kind of, we're gonna do something serious but package it with a chick dressed like that and the dialogue, like just don't try and tackle. It's like a very serious issue of Nova. And you're like,
we've always thought about this with New Warriors. New Warriors always had their real world issues. They're trying to change the world. And this reminded me totally of a New Warriors plot. And then I kind of wonder where this title would have went if Fabian would have stayed with it. Because then once he leaves, I'm like, they're just fighting him and everything, and you don't have any of that New Warriors flavor.
The worst is, I think it makes a mockery of the whole actual Tailhook incident rather than being caught, you know, bringing any attention or having, you know, art reflecting life or anything like that. It's in poor taste.
And also Nova acts really creepy, spies on his girlfriend, and then uses the ends justify the means argument that, like, well, I found out this, so it was okay that I was peering in on you while you were... like I said, my suggestion is skip.
Yep.
3 does the classic, let's bring Spider-Man in, followed by the equally classic, let's fail to identify time frames. So it's so confusing about when the events happened that Andy had to go back and check it twice. And I'm like, all you had to do was put last Tuesday or next Tuesday, like one word, and we would have understood when the time frame happened. So for me, it was just a jumbled mess of like, wait, when did this happen? It does reintroduce classic Nova villain, the Corruptor, which was
a good
villain.
He's really boring here, though.
Yep.
Yeah, but I like his power. He's kind of Mr. Negative. Like, he can make you... you know, bring out your worst side. And like I said, we're going back to the old one.
If you like construction site espionage crime, he's your man.
I mean, that could be interesting, but I feel like this whole run has like some good ideas here and there, and I'm like, oh yeah, I see what you're doing with the plot, but I'm like, you need someone to bump this stuff up a level, and then you need an artist to bump everything up too.
Yeah.
And then you would have a much better title. But it's, I mean, it is what it is. It's a 90s book.
Remember when Luke Cage fought the Riveter guy on the construction site?
Sure.
He had some fun.
He was awesome.
Fun with it. But this was just Spider-Man lending his hopeful sales appeal to it. And yeah, it's kind of confusing and a mess, I think, from a timeline. But basically, the thing to remember is it's told from these different perspectives. I feel like, I guess the editor doesn't read these things anymore. But I did like there's a page of photos and bios for all the creatives, if you were curious what they looked like in, you know.
Because it's the last time they're going to work in comics.
Well, Chris Iliopoulos is a,
just kidding.
Is a name we all know. Okay, now we can get into
the mythology of the book.
Yeah, this is where now we've got Rich is moving in with his buddies, Caps and not Caps, although as you point out, Caps stopped wearing caps at some point.
It was going to cause male pattern baldness, so.
So the three of them get to be a goof. The other thing I thought was smart is now the series is going to roll around a main event, which involves the character Nova 00, which is a Nova from an alternate dimension where silver is the predominant accent color for Nova, not gold. Very important in that universe. Silver, not gold. And he's here to warn, to test our Nova again and to add gratuitous fight scenes. But eventually you'll get to the point where he'll explain that he's from this other dimension where the Death Storm, spoiler, we've talked a little bit about Death Storm because we jumped ahead in that time and time again event. But this is where it's introduced. I thought Nova 00 was interesting, but again, kind of jerky. You just attack, you don't like explain, hey, I'm a Nova from another dimension. You know, you've got to, we've got to train you. And the only way to train you is to fight. Like, they could have done that.
It was falling back on the same rationale from issue one. It's all a test. It was all a dream.
Unless he's secretly Darkhawk. I mean, jury's still out on that one.
So, yeah, but I will say the other thing you get is a cool double page pinup spread of the whole team, the New Warriors team. But it's, this is back when, remember, we had jumped ahead, so Namorita hasn't gone through her blue skin, because remember, we're jumping back a year and a half in this. So that part was fun.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, we're maybe starting to coalesce something here.
And then we get to issue five.
Then we get to issue five.
Well, you have, with the Death Storm, you have to have Rich getting more and more annoying. And more and more, I got to do everything myself. I don't need any help, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, just going crazy on everyone. And then it's like, oh, how come no one likes me? And I'm like, well, I mean.
You're a jerk.
I mean, not that everyone's being great to him. I mean, there's a lot of people acting like jerks here.
And it seems like there's some, like someone read the formula book for the Marvel Spider-Man stand-in. And that is, okay, he needs to be poor. So there's going to be a bit where Nova's brother, the smart one, sets him up with a delivery service.
I love that idea.
That's smart. Yeah. So this is basically their twist on Spider-Man is, well, what if Spider-Man opened up his circle of people that know who he is? Now, us old farts remember when a bunch of people knew who's, you know, Mary Jane and lots of other people. But this is the conceit of like, okay, it's that poor struggling hero with his buddies, but this time they're in the loop, and his gimmick instead of taking photos is to use this Nova Express thing, and it makes sense. He uses powers, it's clever, rolls it in. You know, we get a bit of non character development, and reintroduction of another old villain. Guys, you remember the Condor, right?
Of course.
Yeah, the Sphinx turned him into a bird. A real Condor.
Well, he went to the 90s clinic and got now into the half man, half bird with like talons on his head and talons on his hands and speaks in a kind of the night breed kind of way.
Well, he went to go see the power broker and he was unavailable.
So he got the next best, the guy across the hall.
Exactly.
The distinguished competition at Star Labs.
And my copy still has the old chewed up cards in the middle. These Marvel Master Print cards. So I haven't taken them out, but I have Kraven, Spider-Man, and Chameleon in like a three set.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I guess you can take them out. But then the edges aren't going to be smooth like proper cards, won't they? They'll be kind of perforated. I don't know. I'm not a card guy. I enjoy them. I don't know if you're supposed to remove them or not.
I leave
that to your individual conscience.
You know,
it's not like when they put the overpower cards in there with have the plastic wrapper, and you can really take those out.
When you talked about Rich's life being so much like Peter Parker and Spider-Man and everything, of all the heroes that we've seen over the years use that formula, and even in the 90s, like Sleepwalker and the second Ghost Rider and
Darkhawk,
and keep going on with the list. But Nova was billed as that right on his very first issue back in the late 70s in the tradition of Spider-Man. So he gets the pass. Like he should have the... He should be trying to escape it, but it still keeps creeping up on him, the Spider-Man parallels.
And I don't really have a problem with it. I thought it was a clever twist to be like, let's have our Spider-Man, but let's have a circle, a larger circle of people who know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I don't think it's like you can do fun stories with it. It's just, if I implied that it was cheat, like, I don't have that. It's just, it's what they're doing here. And like Peter Parker, he's going to have his two girlfriends. His regular work, like Namorita, who's now Chimera, even though in the previous pinup she was under the regular one. So a lot's happened in one issue, but
basically Jack's got one girl that he's cooking dinner for in his apartment, and then upstairs in Larry's apartment, he's got the other girl that he's on a simultaneous date for that she's cooking dinner, and he's got to run between the two apartments. Hope that Mr.
Well, in
Farley
this instance, though, it's the 90s, Steve, so they know. Well, at least his civilian girlfriend knows about the other girlfriend. And she's like, yeah, that's cool. Like Laura, she's a regular. She gets it. Like a guy like Nova, you know, you got to date around. You can't just have one girl.
I think she
so
just
that part
says
didn't
everything's
seem very
cool.
Peter Parker.
I don't think everything's really cool. I think she just says that because she's like numb to it. Like it takes her a long time to think of how to respond.
Also, it's this weird... like they had this idea like, oh, she was there when Rich died before she knew he was Nova and was resurrected. And that's going to be traumatic, but it's not handled in any kind of sensical way. So it's just more like a weird plot point. And I get they were trying to make it like, oh, you'd be struggling with this, but it doesn't read as well to me in the actual execution. Again, lots of good ideas. I just wasn't super thrilled with the execution, but the Condor kidnaps her. And that leads to our obligatory fight.
It's like, that's the true spirit of the Condor character, right? He had ever-changing motives. There was always another, you know, first it seemed like he was doing this, then he's doing that, then, so why is he doing that? What's his purpose? And now he's kidnapping the girlfriend? And then...
Yeah, he's angry that Nova's wasting his skills.
But then he's just pissed at he wants to, like, somebody has to pay for the bad situation he's in, and he's going to take it out on Nova, so he just, like, chucks the girlfriend off a roof. It's like, man, your plan straight. What's the plan here? What are you doing? What are you trying to accomplish?
The thing that's weird is, okay, I get that he was put back to human, but he also has all this, like, tech built into him or when it like
well,
it's just
90s.
A weird bunch of nonsense not explained, but basically he is kidnapping the girl as like a feint to get to him, and Nova baits him into getting angry, and then their conflict results in her getting electrocuted, and Condor has to walk him through CPR, which I thought was kind of cool. Like,
he doesn't
he
have
something.
To It again, his motivation's totally changed. He could have just split. He could have killed Nova right then. But no, he's like, oh, all of a sudden that made the whole plan. He was going to kill her a minute ago, and now he's like giving her CPR, and now everything's square with Nova, and like, see you, good buddy. Well, I was like, what the heck? Only the Condor, folks.
It's his but he basically leaves to be like, oh man, that's right, I was a real guy and I feel bad because we need to end this in one issue. Because there's a crossover coming, which is teased. The Sphinx teases the end for time and time again. And if that wasn't enough, my issue has the big fold out back page ad featuring New Warriors 47 and New Warriors Annual number 4. All of which we've previously talked about.
Oh yeah, the New Warriors cover that we don't see on the actual issue. And of course, now, Ghost Rider 2099.
We can skip 6 and 7. That was our time and time again coverage, which was lots of fun. I highly suggest it, but we did the time and time again entire crossover in episode 393 from July of 22.
Yep.
But July 1st, 2022. So that's the full.
But the important thing to take away from that continues with the narrative is that Nova's on an alternate world and that's destroyed, and with the Nova 00. And he reveals that on his alternate world, he couldn't stop prevent the cosmic storm from happening there.
The Death Storm.
And that's how, and it arrives at 00, and that's why he's 00, and he trains him some, and then sends him back off.
You know, there's a lot of Novas fighting Novas in this series.
Yep.
See, I didn't.
I feel like I'm watching like the Supergirl television series, and it's like she always has to fight someone that's flying.
A lot of pointless fighting, honestly. Yes, oh, it was a test. Oh, it's really just Spider-Man, and I'm not really trying to hurt you. Oh, the Condor, I'm not, whatever.
At least the Condor fight ended differently than the usual fights.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see a fight end in CPR a lot.
The other weird thing is, in the 6 and 7, it's actually not our Novas. It's a third alternate Nova, who was actually Rich Rider. We don't know the identity of Nova 00, who also had the Death Storm. So apparently the Death Storm was quite a popular alternative to what's going on.
It happens in every Nova.
Like, there's a lot of worlds where the Death Storm happens, but I like that at least that's the through thread that's pushing our story along in a way, but that gets
the series canceled. When it doesn't pay off.
I don't know if it was that. I think it's because you can't tell the numbering on the title. So eventually, by the time you get to like issue 10, they're like, yeah, we got to change the way we do the numbering because you cannot make out what that's supposed to be. And then Andrew's going to buy extra copies.
Those time and time again, crossover issues were also the last of Fabian Nicieza writing it. And now it's Chris Marinan.
Yeah, is he writing X-Men or something? I'm trying to think.
Or editing, or...
Yeah.
And Marinan mostly does pencils with Stegbar, but there are a few fill-in issues. I thought the series got a little cheerier after he took over. I find it weird, the issues he
doesn't pencil, I feel like those issues took longer to read. It's like he's overwriting because he's not drawing it.
Yeah. There's a few highlights, but here, let's get into what's happening. Nova's going to get more of a cosmic-y kind of international feel with this one, because
new villains that have never showed up anywhere else again, as far as I know.
For good reason, they're just generic 90s villains.
But these are all first appearances.
What I'm unsure about, as far as the story goes, is we have another classic Marvel storyline of the secret organization. That's like running so much behind the scenes. And that's going to dovetail.
I swear they must have bumped into another secret organization before.
There has to be some what the issue where it's just like every secret organization like running into, and they keep pulling masks off and their secret empire and their Hydra and their AIM and their this. But there's another one, and it's going to end up dovetailing into the big disaster that's going to destroy the Earth. And I didn't know if that was kind of done intentionally or because the series was ending, they had to push it together. Because it felt a little like each one maybe should have gotten their own, but it works in a, considering the series ended. So it starts with Nova taking his two buddies up to the camp for some burgers and brews, and he gets a distress call in space. Now, this is clever because now we got a character that's doing stuff Spider-Man ain't doing, and that's going to low Earth orbit and stopping satellite hijacks. Kind of like more of an Iron Man type story.
And he has his mask that changes.
So
which they don't always remember, but most of the time.
So stops the hijack, drops him off at S.H.I.E.L.D., but as he's flying away, he hears on his radio that they, you know, blew up the whole shuttle and themselves, so they wouldn't be captured. Whoops. And that kind of bums him out, rightly. So, yeah. I mean, that's a pretty sad, you know, that's not good. And that's going to sour the barbecue. But as Kevin said, we're going to see this Strike Force team. And they, their leader, Shatter Force, has a bone to pick with Nova.
Shatter Force.
And I like how they also introduce themselves as Shatter Forces. I like when the bombastic group shows up. But anyways, they show up at the cabin, and you know, Caps and Bernie, they ain't got no superpowers. And luckily, Caps had asked Rich to come out and check it out outside to see the great sunset, because Shatter Force introduced themselves by blowing up the cabin. So that could have been the end. But through careful timing, they barely did it. And Kevin, to a little bit of a flash, do you want to tell us who our Shatter Force is?
Oh, jeez.
Is that you guy never named and that guy? Murder. That other guy?
I mean, I remember Murder because I kept on saying, I can't believe you named the character Murder.
Yeah, she's a pretty scary character. There's the tall, muscular, bald leader in armor, the short kind of Quasimodo guy in armor,
who dances,
and then
well.
The woman with long legs.
I mean, I think you have the Anti-Monitor here, yeah, and then later on you'll have what's his name? Where he fought Superman, he had the
Doomsday?
No, the other guy that started like Darkseid. He's poor man's Darkseid. He's like a Green Lantern guy.
Mongol,
yeah. Mongol shows up later, too.
But the three of them take Rich to school. And just every time he gets the upper hand, he gets distracted by his twin damsels in distress, Bernie and Caps. So the issue ends with basically that his prone body with his two enemies about ready to kill him.
The collateral damage of being a friend standing around being near Rich is outrageous in this series. It's like from the very beginning, from he meets his friends in the coffee shop, and then the coffee shop gets like destroyed because he gets attacked. Having the no motive, a real reason for the fights to happen other than, okay, he's here and he gets attacked, means that the people who are with him are constantly getting attacked and injured, and the girlfriend kidnapped, and the friends in, like, everyone's getting wailed on. It's I don't know if I would be moving in with Rich.
It's all fun games until someone loses a finger.
It drives home. That's why Peter couldn't let anyone know. Like, he was right. It turns
exactly
out. Like, there is no there's no safe way to reveal your secret identity. But this is our first fight that we're getting 2 issues worth of. So an issue and a half, I guess you could say. So it
opens. That's why you don't mess with those satellites in space. Like, someone might come after you and say, "Hey, we don't like what you're doing."
No, and Rich was smart to trick out that's why they're after him. But so our two bad guys are about to do in Rich. But it starts with, turns out, the Duke boys hijacked the spaceship. This felt very like Two Stooges or something. Like, I don't know how Caps and Bernie started the thing. But that was enough of a reprieve to get Nova back on his feet and teach these clowns who they're messing with.
Warhead. His name is Warhead.
This one, I generally don't get too distracted, but I did enjoy in the bullpen bulletins that they were hyping the Justice for Balance miniseries that we all skipped. But I don't know. Maybe Kevin will convince me. He'll threaten to walk again.
Maybe I'll convince you to read the Night Thrasher series first. But I thought it was funny in one of these bullpen Boltons is they're asking all these creators, whatever the question of the week is, like, what would you be doing if you weren't doing comics? And, like, Neil Gaiman shows up there. I'm writing an Alice Cooper series.
Well, the one this issue also has the Sal Buscema profile where it's kind of, you can tell how you used to do 3 or 4 books a month. Now you only do one. Why is that? And, like, the real answer, because the editors are screwing him. Like, yeah, exactly. That's why. But
ask Herb Trippy how it is.
Answer about why. But our issue it continues with excitement. Plus, Kevin, please tell me you sent away for the Generation X ash can for only $5 an issue or whatever.
Sadly, no. But that's a great Marvel add in here. But I think they've reprinted some of this stuff in the collections now.
And as usual, people have specs on Nova, and they haven't been updated with this gravimetric pulse, whatever, which is some kind of eye blast that does whatever the story needs it to do, I guess.
He's slowly learning stuff. Like, Zero kept on saying, hey, you have an untapped ability. So it's like, oh, I can listen to radio frequencies. Oh, I can do this. And I'm like, so he's slowly,
Change the radio station? This is great.
I know. Well, I don't have to listen to AM now? I can listen to FM?
Great AM radio. Yeah, so he's got to go save Caps and Bernie, because the third guy was after them. So once he trashes the first two, he gets on the spaceship, throws the guy out of the spaceship. I hope he... his armor protects him and he didn't just murder the guy and takes over the ship. But at that point, Warhead is about to explode and jumps on the ship and he's going to die. And Rich is trying to figure out why this guy is so mad about him, but he's kind of all glowing and everything. I thought that was a cool image, but needless to say, he doesn't blow up. Rich saves him, but he escapes as this spacecraft blows up. He has Caps and Bernie under each arm and flies away. But we don't know the connection between Warhead and Nova, except that Nova must have killed his brother. Killer of my brother. And I'm like, whoa, well, maybe his brother was the guy Nova just threw out of the spaceship. To his death. And then it ends with a Nick Fury teaser and the Night Thrasher cross series.
There's that weird black, red, and pink sequence.
Yeah, then there's like,
what is happening?
Some bit we get introduced fully to this secret organization that sent our villains against him to fight, and we're behind the hijacking of the satellite. But don't worry, all that stuff, it only slowed him down a little bit. But they try and have some of the internecine kind of political machinations. It sort of works in a 90s way, but you never really get much characterization except that all the leaders are kind of fighting with each other, kind of Secret Empire style, except they have names I've forgotten as opposed to numbers.
And there's thing in outer space looks like a kind of like a giant gun.
And then we get to issue 10, which had an awesome cover and Diamond Head. Remember that guy? He's back.
Oh, Steve must really have cool. Just been like, yes, finally, Diamond Head again.
I do think it's cool that he hasn't been seen since ROM 24 when Nova left him drifting in space after he was a traitor to the Xandarians against the Skrulls.
You liked it when you opened it up. Is it coming October 24th? Gargoyles. Check local TV listings.
This is the issue out of all the ones I would tell people to run out and get, because crashes into this group. And my favorite character is, I love the name Skullcat. He's like this red and white jumpsuit with kind of like a, almost like a man bat kind of head, but it's all in white. Like, I'm like, this is a great, like, I want like a limited series of Skullcat. I mean, his, the crew with him is of mixed, you know, the girl with the wrist rockets. We've seen that a million times. I did like Cement Mixer Boy, who Kid Quarry is his name, and he shoots kind of like dirt or whatever rays.
Yeah. I was going to ask you to name them all because new characters again, as far as I know.
Yeah, but I loved Kid Quarry, I like, but Skullcat, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a great design, a cool name, like cool design. I want more of Skullcat, but we get like two panels and that's it. And basically, it's just that Rich had blasted in and he was supposed to wait for the rest of the new warriors because there's a bunch of dangerous explosives around. But what are you going to do? And this is leading to increasing tensions between Night Thrasher and Rich, which we saw blow up in New Warriors with them, the team.
They're like, here's the plan, like multiple times in this title. Here's the plan. And he's like, oh, I'm totally going to do the plan. The plan is excellent. I'm so down with the plan. Then 2 seconds later, I'm not following the plan. Then they get upset and then he gets upset. What are you getting upset about? And I'm like, dude, did you not just say you were okay with the plan?
And that gets us back to our sideline story Kevin hinted at. There was some machinations. Basically, the Corruptor, his storyline, he's trying to become like a super knockoff version of the Rose. I mean, which is a super knockoff version of the Kingpin. I mean, he is, but that's the whole, like, you know, organized crime scandals and schemes and plotting. It doesn't come off well for me, but your mileage might vary. He does have the smart idea to use Nova Express to deliver a bomb to Diamond Head.
Yeah. But anyone would think that's Nova's MO, that he's delivering bombs now?
Well, in some ways, some of these issues were certainly bombs that were delivered. But I love the when the reveal of Diamond Head is a fun full-page spread. I think Diamond Head, another great design. Now, this is an original character.
It's like Tombstone.
But like a fun, kind of cool Martin X sort of vibe to him, except all. And it's just great. He's punching Rich. And these guys hate each other. Like, it goes back to the whole see previous episodes of Marvel noise. Yeah, I like the head. It's kind of like a royal cut diamond, but it's also his hair. You know what I mean? And then there's a weird reference that he triggers a memory in Nova with which we will not get a resolution, I assume, because the series got canceled.
He basically, it seems like he insinuates that the Xandarians wiped Rich's memories clear of maybe some wartime atrocities or something like that during the Skrull Xandarian War.
I mean, if they ever want to do a flashback miniseries, which they've been doing, I mean, another prime thing where they can insert that thing.
Totally. And it would be cool if, like, because he's Diamond, that means they couldn't erase, you know, they could work some reason why he couldn't lose his memories is because of his unique composition of his body or whatever.
I did think it was fun that we got the bonus battle of the serendipitously having Nova cross paths with Darkhawk fighting the Rhino. So we got to see Nova fight Rhino.
Yeah. I mean, there isn't much to that. It is nice, but that it not only allows Diamond Head to get away, but it gives you Rhino. Unfortunately, all you get from Rhino is like him and Rich colliding, and then that's
what more do you need?
Yeah,
they fought.
That must happen.
I got two issues of him fighting Shatterforce.
Well, you're reading too much into this stuff. Yeah, my takeaway from Darkhawk this issue was just that like Diamond Head and Nova fought.
Yeah, that part I really liked, and then it ends with him visiting the Fantastic Four. For newer listeners, Fantastic Four used to have Reed Richards in it.
Yeah.
He was a character from a long time ago, but he died. So that's why you don't know who that is.
But didn't Doom used to be die called at the same time?
Mr. Fantastic. And in the old, old issues, he's there. You wouldn't know now. And then it's the... Steve thought we had the tired wheeze of the unexplained fight for testing. Now we get the wheeze of the robot versions.
Like, I was wondering, I'm like, what Fantastic Four issues exactly are going on at this time? Because I was like, wait, what? I'm like, I need to go listen back to that Marvel Noise episode.
But it was a funny, they do point out in the footnotes that, you know, Reed has sadly gone. I don't know if that's in this issue or the next with the footnotes. But basically, our secret organization, one of the leader factions, the woman, has these robots that are going to go after Rich Rider. And again, it's one of those, like, we've pointed this out 1,000 times, but the amount of tech and, like, things these places have, and they waste them on, like, fighting superheroes.
And it's not just these robots. It's classic robot characters. It's the Robot Hulk from the, the Eternals?
The Eternals. We've seen a robot
that we've seen a few times pop up. Dragon Man, who's a famous robot. And a Doombot.
Yeah. So they programmed the robots to attack Nova and kill him. And they track him to the Fantastic Four, who at this point, the only two members there are She-Hulk and Ben Grimm.
She-Hulk's not even a member.
Yeah, no, she's not a member at that time. Ant-Man is, though. He's the scientific helper because Reed's gone. This is during the DeFalco, Paul Ryan, Danny Bellinati run.
It
reminded me of that cover where, and I think it was Invisible Woman was on the cover. I'm like, oh, maybe she's trying to assemble a new team or something. Because I find it so hilarious on the cover of number 11, they're like, oh, could this be the new Fantastic Four? You better buy this.
Well, what's funny is that the new Fantastic Four team that they offer up as the possibility here is Ant-Man, She-Hulk, The Thing, and Nova. And I'm thinking, you know, that's pretty close to the Matt Fraction, Mike Allred FF group, where it was Ant-Man, She-Hulk, the girl and the thing, you know, exoskeleton, right? So it was like 3 out of 4. Pretty close.
And at this point, Hulk is intelligent, so She-Hulk is wondering why he's not, you know, he's talking like dumb old Hulk. And mine has that stupid personalized. I mean, the comic looks cool where you get to be Captain Universe in an X-Men comic, but it creates a lot of problems for
people. How many different variants are out there that are individualized? Like, if someone wants to get in on some rare comics, how many of those are out there?
Yeah.
Do we think all that was personalized though was the trading card? Like, I don't think the comic was personal. I think they just...
You don't think they did something like they do with the store...
Oh, please.
...exclusive variant cover things?
They gave you your own trading card. That's a lot easier and cheaper and printed out 1 million copies of this comic. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're right, but all they're promising is the trading card, which makes me think they're going to deliver the least possible they can deliver. I mean, I don't... Maybe the comic never came out.
Andrew got me my own trading card.
Yeah, so it's a possible, but the Doombot has too much doom in it, so he goes down and reprograms himself to give himself a power boost and wipe out his prime directives, because they put in a like explosion direct, like a self-destruct thing. And so the woman, who looks a bit like Silhouette, to be honest with you, and
yeah, sure.
like the dark outfit and the haircut, and I was like, is that, no, it's not her. So her flunky is like, oh no, Doom's overridden, should we try and, you know, blow him up anyways? And she's like, nah, let the robots fight. And that's where you, as Kevin said, or Steve maybe told us, Ant-Man is in it. Another part that made me laugh is, okay, we, the readers, know that they're robots. They confirm it. Pages later, they do the Ant-Man reveal where he finds out they're robots, but it's done over like 3 panels, like, boom, they're, and then the next panel, robots all included. It's like, we've known they're robots for a while now, but glad you're doing it. So he reprograms a signal transmitter so that they can get rid of the robots. But what's funny, and again, not picked up on, but I love, is that Dragon Man just leaves. Like, the transmitter sends him away, and that makes it funny. But meanwhile, Warhead has now been upgraded to Armada. You know, because they recaptured his... And they can, like, bring people back from the dead and everything. Like, these people have a lot of tech is wasted on fighting dumb superhero battles.
Well, so, you wonder where all this tech is coming from.
Oh, we're going to... Yes, good point, Kevin. Way too ominously foreshadow that. But they finally...
And I also wanted to see Namorita show up in this... I mean, Chimera show up in this battle.
They finally tell She-Hulk and Thing that they're robots, but by then they put in the transmitter and that just makes them blow up. But like I said, Dragon Man escapes. I'm like, oh, I wonder, you know, that'd be another cool thread. They could have this robot Dragon Man that they unleashed is gone. And like you guys said, then they're able to defeat Armada, well, Riches, by, you know, using this disruptor power, which, although works on robots, apparently also works on Armada, too, because it's the same tech, I'm guessing. They built the robots, and now they have this. And again, they have a joke about the four of them reaching in to form a new Fantastic Four. And they go, nah, as a little gag. And that's it. And then at the end, now Nick Fury was teased as like, we got to talk to you, Rich, about the satellite. And again, as Kevin hints, Chimera shows up and says, hey, she's the political one. We did see that in the other one. She's always like, hey, we don't want any of your business. Let Rich go and all that. But it's done in like two panels. And
yeah. He's like, I'll give them the business.
And then that's 12. Mayhem on the Moon. And this is where we have Don Carrasco Jr. as our guest penciler.
I'm not familiar with these
for the next two issues. Yeah.
I mean, like, this could be their whole career, as far as I know.
It's also a new editorial team as Tom Brevoort takes over editing the book. So everyone on the opening credits is Tom.
Shout out to Earth 2 Podcast as well.
Tom Marinin is the writer, and the inker is somebody Tom, and this guy is Tom this, and...
And that's how you do it.
Brother is the writer.
What's that?
His brother is the writer now.
That's what I thought when I first flipped it open, and then I saw that it was a Tom gag that everyone's Tom for Tom Brevoort's first issue.
Except Darren. But this is a chance for them to write Nick Fury and Nova to both be annoying and bothersome. But basically, the whole point is you pass the test, kid, because you know we've had a few episodes without a test. And Nova has to put the replacement satellite back in, which leaves a perfect chance for us to bring Nova 00 back for a big fight that crash lands them to the moon, Alice. And meanwhile, Nova's girlfriend is making time with her side boyfriend. It's fun. Now there's going to be a, and as well she should, you know, she, you know, maybe doesn't want to get involved in the superhero set. I don't blame her. So Nova 00 and our Nova fight, and Nova 00 was not expecting the old where he gets his head in a headlock and gives him a noogie.
Yep.
Right before they crash into the helmet moon. And then they're fighting, and that's when, you know, you fight on the blue area of the moon, Steve. You're either going to get the Watcher or you're going to get the...
Inhumans.
But this is like, just like the Fantastic Four, this is weird status quo Inhumans because they're like, oh... Well, we're not the royal family anymore. And I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, where is your city right now?
And the Inhumans are like, oh, you know, take your battle elsewhere or face our wrath. Like, we were told you were coming.
And Star Thief is there, too. Yeah. And I'm like, that's cool. That's a good reference from, what was that, issue 5 or something?
Star Thief doesn't recognize Rich. And Nova's like, I'll fight wherever I want to. I don't care. I'll kill you all. And so instead
of... Crazy.
De-escalating, he decides to fight all the Inhumans too.
He doesn't want to de-escalate anything.
It's weird. So they have the 900th pointless battle between them that results basically in Nova 00 bugging out and our Nova releasing another gravimetric pulse, which drains him. And so now he's about to be murdered by the Inhumans, which is a very likely plot turn, right? Like the Inhumans, well known for murdering people on the moon.
Obviously.
And that leads
us to
13.
That's why they moved there. It's like international waters.
International waters.
You can 13, do anything you want.
Which has one of the funniest covers. Marinin does the cover of like super bulked out Night Thrasher. And I love Firestar, her head's forward, her torso's facing one direction, her hips are facing the other, but her head is straight forward in like a, does not look like a comfortable position. So basically, Nova's about to be executed, but suddenly Star Thief recognizes him and says, oh wait, we better not murder this guy, even though he needlessly provoked everyone.
Did you mention this is Death Storm minus three?
Oh yeah, they start the countdown to the big Death Storm that we've been teased from the beginning. And Nova just wants to fight everyone, but finally Black Bolt calms him down. As Kevin said, that explains our new status quo, which is that Black Bolt, Medusa, Karnak are not part of the main Inhumans. They only get together when there's a trouble. Call them on the double. They'll be there, the Bloodhound Gang. So they all get transported right back to New York City. They drop off Nova. Now, cut to another plot that got dropped where Condor is touring our secret agency to see if he wants to join. That's where they explain they can raise people from the dead. They have super weapons. And Condor is very aloof, and he's a super genius. Kind of like the High Evolutionary, if I had to cop a model, if that's fair, boys.
Do they have a pair?
So the new warriors are griping at each other and fighting, but Nova's going to track down this secret thing. And this is more of that. He's just pointlessly arguing with everybody that, like, Deathstorm, it is important, but maybe if you're not a jerk about everything, people will take you more seriously.
That's the thing, too. Like, every time any little thing happens, Rich is always like, oh, that's obviously Deathstorm. That guy got kidnapped. That person got murdered. There was a robbery. They're all connected to Deathstorm.
Well, it turns out he's right. So
who knew?
So they track down one of the warehouses. Meanwhile, Rich also goes to his brother, who's smart, to help him figure out the Deathstorm thing. Because, you know, maybe he can work up a computer model. You like that, Kevin? They got to get the computers, and the kids love computers. Meanwhile, finally we find out who's backing the Nova Corps. And this was another nice poll, boys. It's the Akkon from Captain Marvel. I had not
heard
of them.
Oh, so the bad design isn't because of this title?
Oh, they were 90s eyes for sure.
Okay, because I'm like, that just doesn't look good.
Don't get me wrong. They're not their own, you know, they're the different artists have different takes on it. But originally they were, Captain Marvel.
Oh, I didn't know.
From the late 60s. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want to see like Dandy Don Heck, what he does with it, you can take a look at his art. Slightly different than the current fill-in team. But now it's T-minus 2 into 14, boys. And we see, once again, Warhead's getting juiced up even more powerful this time. And Marinan's back to the task. But these Akkon, A-A-K-O-N, I'm going to call it Akkon. I don't know how you pronounce foreign international alien languages. So they're so powerful, they just zap Warhead right away. And they don't even bother to kill him. He's not even worth it, guys. That's how powerful they are. Even though Nova trashed that guy a few times. But still, Nova's tracking them down through his radio helmet. And he's got the full crew. This is Darkhawk, Chimera, Speedball, Turbo, Justice, Firestar. Looking pretty good sometimes. I feel like Marinan's starting to get the team together. But a very important thing happens. Queen Princess Adora from She-Ra rings them up on the helmet phone and says, this is an emergency. You have to report. And he's like, I ain't got to do nothing. I'm my own man. Why don't you tell your someone else to report? And he just hangs up on her.
He is so terrible. They're like, this is very important. And he's just like, you're part of our world and everything. We need your help. And you're part of a crew and everything. And he's like, no, I'm not.
Yeah. I do my own thing. I get my own powers.
I don't care if you need it. If you're going to get destroyed again. Oh, well.
You should be from Earth.
That later. It's like you could have had the new warriors go check out this thing you want to check out, and then you can head to Xandar.
Yeah. Then we get four pages of baseball cards.
There's a lot of baseball cards. I feel like there's more and more baseball cards. Like, the market must crash on those cards so hard around here.
And then, yeah, he's such a jerk. And then, like, they get to the base, and then Chimera's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I doubted you. And I'm like, why are you apologizing? Like, this guy's a jerk. I don't quite think she has a lot to apologize for, but it's a fun multi-prong attack on their base with their super armored dudes, and Shatterforce is back. I mean, they couldn't beat him with his sidekicks being Caps and Bernie, so I don't know how they're going to beat him with Chimera as part of the Nova part of the Strike Force. But she gets zapped by Death and does her Atlantean shutdown thing, and that freaks him out. So he just goes total Wolverine.
It's true.
Meanwhile, the internecine battle, the lady we've been following shoots one of the other bosses to get her promotion, just like the Secret Empire.
Yeah, Deception on top of Deception in their ranks.
And the Akon take a small select crew up to their satellite and say, eh, we don't need that base. We'll just blow it up.
Why not?
And that's when he finds out that the base they're completing, the Ram's Head up in space, that has a bomb. The dying boss is like, the Akon said something about a bomb. And then it ends with Rich's brother being kidnapped by the Akon.
That's because he did that computer model, computer programming.
So now 15 is going to say why Nova needed to be called back. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sure Super Steve was happy with this guy here.
Oh yeah, it's great.
a nice callback to Nova number one, the original.
Yeah. Well, but what I was thinking was, so when Robbie gets kidnapped by the Talons decades later, it's like, not again. But yeah, it's pretty weird that they have Kraw, the brother of Zor from Nova number one, the first series.
That must be their naming structure, right? Yeah. You have two repeated letters.
Yeah.
What I like is, it's very 90s, like, oh, the brother was bad. He's like twice as bad as the other one. Like, if you had trouble with the last guy, this guy is twice as nasty.
And I like the one. This first page, it's like all this war stuff, and it's like, oh, an annihilation. And I'm like, wait, what? Interesting word choice there.
His character design is super top heavy, though. Like, not that he doesn't have bulky legs, but it's kind of weirdly top heavy. And he's just going down and killing Novas. So that's why, obviously, the Nova phone was dialing it up. But we found out that, oh, guys, you guys fell for it. They didn't really kidnap his brother. Nova 00 kidnapped the brother. So, you guys, you fall for everything, don't you? And Nova 00 dropped him off at the subway, as you do. But he got blasted with some ray that, you know, weakens him. And so the Akon, they know more about the Nova tech than anything else. Meanwhile, Rich falls for Namorita, who's back to being regular, peach-colored.
He took that well.
Well, it turns out she was a Skrull Nova, because they were sent back to retrieve Rich. A Skrull Nova.
They said they would go after him and retrieve him. You know, they would pull out all measures to get him back.
Yeah.
And they weren't joking.
This feels a lot like Green Lantern knockoff, because like a Skrull one and a giant ape one. And meanwhile, back on the Ram's Head, our secret society is learning that working for them ain't so good, because they're just killing everybody.
Who would have figured?
But by the time they get Rich back to their ship, they're being attacked. Oh no, this guy, he's just killing every Nova. So now Rich gets involved, and he's super smart. So he takes the battery engine from the spaceship and plugs it into the gun. Great. And I'm like, how does Rich know anything? I guess he's remembering a lot about spaceship stuff.
He says, I learned this from Star Trek. And I'm like, I don't know how this is like in Star Trek.
They use a lot of big guns on Star Trek. And
apparently, it's very apparently that's a primary mission on Star Trek.
You sure you didn't learn it from MacGyver?
Exactly.
So he's able to use the giant gun to shoot down. But it doesn't matter. Can't be stopped. Even though his ship blows up, he's going to destroy everybody. And that gets us to 16, which is Death Storm Ground Zero with a cool cover with Rich bent over going to the bathroom while a giant death cloud is above his head.
No, that's actually him going to the bathroom. He hasn't went in a while. And can I just say that's the worst like place to put that statement of ownership? Like you have a last page of art in issue 15, and it's like, oh, why don't we just cover up the artwork with this giant statement of ownership?
You know what was weird, too, in that issue? When Adora, I think, is talking about how they need Nova to, you know, take care of Kraw, brother of Zor, that he's the one who fought him all those months ago. And I was like, all those months ago, are you telling me that the whole first Nova series, plus all the time that he was not Nova, plus all the time the New Warriors have existed, has only been a couple months? Like, I mean, no.
They're space months, Steve.
Time moves differently for her. Yeah, I thought that was really weird, but it's better if they just don't mention that in a story.
Absolutely. No reason to.
So now, Nova and Gorilla Grodd Nova are going to track down our guy, but his special power includes super stealth, so he ambushes them, but that's not going to stop this Nova. He's been training for Death Storm, so
well,
he's
the spider sense doesn't work.
And it's a fine battle, doesn't do much, but right when Rich is about to eat it, Zor's brother, Kraw's brother Zor shows up. What? Well, how is that possible, guys? It's the Skrull. And that's just enough distraction. That's the other wheeze they've used 100 times where Nova's on the ropes, but one of his cronies gives a distraction.
Yeah.
And that's just enough to stop him. I did like the image of he's like huge. So he goes to punch Rich with a fist that's like this, almost the size of his whole body. Yeah. Rich blocks it with his tiny hand.
Well, he's rejuvenated. Then you get that crazy, like, splash page of him just punching him in the face. And I'm like, that's kind of nice.
Yeah, if you like teeth and alien spit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I do like Venom when he was slobbering all over the place.
Brains.
So he knocks him out with one uppercut, which seems weird, I guess, that this guy was so deadly and that's all it took. But anyways, the Skrull guy is like, hey, look, you're in really big trouble. They're going to arrest you, but I think you're cool. So if you want to get out of here, I'll give you a head start before I ask for your badge and gun. And he's like, excellent.
Yeah.
And he's going to head back to stop the Death Storm because no one can stop it.
I don't know. It's funny. It's like it's in space. He's traveling in space. He goes past this thing, doesn't think anything of it.
Well, he's got to have a moment with his brother before the battle. You got to have the pep talk, Kevin. You can't just go fight. You got to have it so that the brother gives him the hint, become an empty vessel, some kind of Buddhist nonsense to get him ready for the
battle. And you can't tell him about anything else, because if he tells them about anything else, it might change his reaction, so he can't tell him anything.
Is that like in space, no one can hear you scream? Like, I was like, wow, that's deep.
Well, I thought maybe the Marvel movie writer stole that bit where you can't know the future, or you won't be able to do it when time comes. Little
but he
Doctor
goes
Strange.
Into space again, what happens and he goes right past that giant gun again, the Ramhead.
Well, he sees that Nova Zero Zero is fighting a bunch of goons, and Nova's like, no, man, you got to get aboard that giant gunship you keep flying by and finish these guys off. I can take it. It doesn't matter what happens to me. So then Nova gets angry and does his Wolverine thing again and uses his anger for good purpose.
He shatters some stuff with some Thoris there.
Does he use the green eyes? Does he use the green eyes?
The gravimetric pulse. But it's too late. It's been start. Once you start the bomb, you can't stop it. The bomb. But
yep.
A lot of the
tidal waves. No, all this stuff legs. Is happening on Earth.
Yeah, everything's destroyed. Poor Rich's brother's computer blows up.
Yeah, I know.
Did you like that?
Expensive and, computers.
That's where he learns. Like it was they're turning the sun into a big bomb. But there's a giant spot on this. By the way, Rich can fly to the surface of the sun.
Yeah. I'm like, so this. What are they? They're saying their sunspot is actually not a sunspot. Yeah. Or at least one of them isn't.
There's a little
bit of sunspots.
On the sun today?
Yeah. But I was just impressed that, like, Rich Rider can basically walk on the surface of the sun with no problem.
Well, he's more the cosmic powered Rich Rider.
It's like when you walk on coals, you just have to be really confident about it.
So he goes down and he's going to absorb this.
The symbiote.
Yeah. And that's the thing. He's got to be an empty vessel because he got to absorb the energy. And then he goes and releases it and kills a planet full of broccoli people. No, only joking. That'd be funny, though, if he ended up killing a bunch of broccoli people, wouldn't it?
Yep. Well, it seems like he goes far and then he doesn't.
No.
And then he sets up like a sort of habitat area on Mars.
Well, I like that he blasts out the energy. It's enough to kill everyone on the Ram's Head, by the way. But, I mean, they were all traitors to Earth, so we don't care that the Akon and all those humans died, right? They were bad people.
I mean, weren't they going to rebel and everything?
Maybe.
Like,
but
they were, when it came down to it, they're like, oh, we're not, like, we don't want to ruin... like be some kind of ruler of this solar system without the Earth. So they're going to do something, but now they're all deads.
Yeah. That made it. Well, look, and then we find out Nova 00 was his brother. In the other universe, they picked the smart one.
Did you figure that out?
No, I didn't.
I mean, Super Steve.
Yes.
Okay.
As soon as they made any sort of insinuation that it wasn't.
Oh, I thought Rich. It might've been Rich.
Yeah,
or I
Rich.
Thought it would be funny if it was Caps or Barney or something like that. They could have really had a fun with it being like Caps, because, you know, Nova wears a helmet. It's like a cap. And then
you find it weird the Spider-Man ad, it's just it's supposed to say 20 to 1, but I keep on reading it as 20 to 14.
And then the last two feel very kind of like, we got to get this thing out the door. Wrap this thing up.
That's the weird thing, the letter pages, too. They're like, oh, the times haven't been so good to the New Warriors franchise. And we're like, what do you mean? You just started.
And new
the
writer.
Times haven't been good? I'm like, what was the good time? Like, the first six issues?
New writer shows up to, you know, straighten this ship out for the next 20 issues or two.
The New Warriors writer.
Evan Skolnick right. And then Phil Gozier and Mike Macklin jump on. And they're going to straighten out the ship. And it turns out that She-Ra, Princess Adora, is not enjoying her alliance with the Shi'ar. It's you know how this stuff, it's always like, all the paperwork you have to do when you're the Emperor.
Exactly.
That's exactly how I felt when I read these issues.
and so they're going to, you know, send the ship down to straighten out Rich.
But more references to Rom Space Knight.
Yes, a big dire wrath. Queen shows up and zaps one of the guys and takes his place.
And Rich is so stupid. He's like, oh, Skrulls, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, how do you not know this is one of those Dire Wraith guys?
Because they were clandestine. They were secret.
Still? I thought there was like a, you know, they showed up in the Avengers and
Rich,
everything.
Rich wasn't Nova then.
Okay.
You know? It was in his in-between time.
But alternate universe brother gets a grave on Mars, which I wonder what the X-Men did when they took over Mars. They're like, oh, we're terraforming this.
Yeah, and he went back to Mars, too. He should have checked in on the grave.
You know what they did, Andrew?
They moved the gravestones, but they left the bodies.
I also wonder about, wasn't Roxxon had a little mining colony thing on Mars? I wonder if it was in that spot.
Yeah. That's so where then the soil was good. The soil is surprisingly good here. You could grow a flower. Yeah, I don't know. Doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. Someone must have released all this cosmic energy here before.
So we get some fake character development as he goes back and remembers, oh, wait, Chimera's missing. I better stare at a computer screen.
Yeah, that's why all the important stuff happens in the New Warriors, even though these guys have their own titles.
And then Garth Saul shows up and is like, hey, Rich, your time is over. I'm here. And I'm no longer Garth Saul. I am a Zendar Centurion Supernova. No, not Supernova. That was my old identity. I am Nova Omega because, you know, we're running out of Nova-based jokes and names.
That is not a great costume.
No.
But that, and then he explains that he's draining his powers because he's also stupid. So,
and then he says, you keep on punching me, yeah. I'll drain your powers. So what does Rich do? Keeps on punching him.
Blasts him, punch. And then finally Rich figures out after enough of his powers are gone that he's draining his powers. He's going to go get Firestar, but that doesn't work. He does have one smart idea to charge a piece of debris with his energy and throw it in the ocean.
Why is it that green now?
His eyes were green.
That's like shooting a missile off to make a heat-seeking missile chase that instead of, you know, to get a heat signature, which I thought was clever. But
yeah, that was the smartest thing he's done.
You know, the thing about the draining, it seems in hindsight, it seems stupid to, if the guy's absorbing his powers from the punches, keep punching him kind of thing. But, I mean, this is comics. Usually how you defeat a guy who absorbs energy is you give him too much energy and he grows way too big, right? Yeah. But Rich tries that and it's not working. He's just getting weaker, like you said.
So he thinks it's some kind that this guy is not doing this on authority of She-Ra, but why would he think that? He already knows he was in trouble the last 2 issues ago. He was told he was in trouble.
Yeah,
I like how he doesn't even think to check in, but he's
in denial.
Nova Omega is dumb and doesn't realize the trick and allows Nova enough to use up the last of his juice to get to Queen Adora.
Yeah,
and she's go on.
I'm proving that a Nova Omega isn't crazy because Rich is doing all these tricks. He's just gonna murder Rich now.
Yeah, so they show up and they're like, no. You know, you are Nova, his special font. No more.
You're out.
Like that.
You're fine.
That leads us to 18, which is the wrap-up, where Rich leaves a long, rambling, possibly suicide note.
Definitely suicide note. I can't believe, spoilers, ending this issue with him committing suicide.
Yep.
Is that like the most grim last page
Terrible.
Of like an ongoing series?
Really bad.
Yeah, this is not a good one.
Even, and then in the letters page, they even say something like, we truly regret the passing of Nova. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And it's also weird because they start with that.
Why do you spend like half of your last issue recapping the series? Like, why?
Yeah, they recap the series.
Are new readers coming onto this book? Is someone only reading the last... Wasting all the real estate with like a recap? You're getting canceled.
Hey, listen, Skolnick had to do all this research just to write these last two issues before the contents of this book get absorbed into the main title that he's also writing. He's like, I'm not going to do all this research and not get to use it. I'm writing a couple of recap pages here.
Apparently.
And the last one, they add a few extra anchors too to get this thing done.
You know what it is, though? It's him going through his life because he's going to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Which is also weak sauce.
And yeah, it's weird.
It's not great.
Because we don't pick up right where we left. So we have all that. And then we jump back to Nova Omega making fun of him and saying, okay, we'll give you new clothes and take you back to Earth with our Dire Wrath person and regular person.
Yeah.
So he really rubs it in, Supernova. He's being a real jerk about the whole thing.
But Rich is a real jerk anyway. So I don't really care. But
You know what I would rather have seen instead of those recap pages? Just cool Xandar stuff. Or, hey, this is what our city looks like now. Right. This is how it works.
Yeah. We fixed the domes, and now this is what Xandar looks like. In fact, here's a cutaway.
Here's one of those floor plans.
Yeah, exactly.
And we get a giant four-page insert trumpeting the new era of the Ultraverse. You guys know how long that lasted, right?
I totally forgot about it. It reminded me of the when Marvel did the Hickman X-Men thing when they showed the eras. And I like how they say, oh, every decade or so, we do something cool. And they have the 60s, the 70s, and then the 90s for now, 1995. And I'm like, shouldn't you put like the new universe in there for the 80s or something?
Well, the new universe lasted longer than the Ultraverse.
Exactly. I'm like...
One of the Xandarians had a weird feeling and ran a scan, and that triggered the Direwrath Queen, who crashes the ship. But luckily, just before she's about to destroy Rich, the other guy barely with it shoots him, and then the plane crashes, and somehow Rich survives, miracle upon miracle, and he gets a weapon out, but... She knocks the weapon out, and that's when he's like, you're a Skrull? No, you can't be, and she explains who she is. And then Nova Omega's there to save him again. But then this is the part where I really didn't like Rich. Rich shoots Nova Omega to let the Direwrath Queen go.
Yeah.
Because he's a jerk. Like, what is he... Oh, that'll make... You know what'll make this guy look bad? Is if everyone on Earth gets murdered. Then he'll lose his job, and he'll give the job back to Rich?
But Rich is also pretty dumb because he's like, oh, even though this guy is starting to not do un-Skrull-like things, I'm still going to think it's a Skrull. And who cares if another Skrull is loose on it?
Exactly. Once this guy lets the Earth get destroyed, there's no way they're letting him keep the Nova powers. But Nova Omega makes... Yeah, it was just like this really... I thought what would have been better is if he goes to try and shoot the Direwrath and misses or what, you know, like... Or she knocks the gun out and gets away. Like
that is what happens, but we know that he's the way they do the panels and choose to show the timing of it. He kind of could have let up. He didn't have to rough the passer, but he took those extra steps for sure.
So that left a bad. I was like, you're letting that. Now he doesn't know the Direwraths are bad. He probably thinks they're great with a name like Direwrath.
You know,
like,
he's burning.
They probably deliver candy.
He's burning every bridge and every responsibility though, because he's about to go kill himself.
Yeah. Yep. So then he hitchhikes to San Francisco, but has to get money from his girlfriend for a hotel room. When good thing he does, because that let him go. And as Kevin says, it ends with. Him jumping off a building, committing suicide.
To get his powers back, you know. But,
I mean, sure, he's not going to get his powers back. That he would get his powers back in the Warriors number one. But as far as we know he got his powers taken away. I guess they could be dormant again because, oh, they didn't really take them away. But, like, who's going to rush in and save him? Like, for all he knows, like...
No one.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, he's dead. So that gets us back. Now we're back to our new Warriors 60, Evan Skolnick, Patrick Zurcher, and Andrew Peepoy. So more experienced hands with his... Now we see it's an Alice in Chains shirt he was wearing.
His shirt was red Alice in Chains. You get the new Warriors, it's now white Alice in Chains.
Well, he scared the red right out of it. So, but luckily... Steve's favorite version of Torpedo Turbo is there to save him.
At least it's Torpedo. I mean, that was cool. Makes sense.
That's a good page.
He takes the money that his girlfriend wired him to take her out to dinner, because that's what you do when you bump money off your...
So did you turn around the comic, Andrew? Did you like that a lot?
Well, it was a... I guess, like, it's a dramatic page, and you have the credits... Why not? You wanted the full splash page of his. And let me tell you, he comes within. If she hadn't gone as fast, like, yeah, he would have been done.
Yeah.
So he goes and complains to her about it. And she's like, maybe don't kill yourself, as he explains what happened in his series, meaning we didn't need to read those 18 issues, guys.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I never read those Nova issues, so I went right from 59 right to 60.
And the rest of the New Warriors show up still with torn outfits from 59.
Yes, that's right.
And it turns out Rich was correct. The Nova Omega is not very good at his job and gets captured.
Who and is this guy, though? Is this Zarko the Tomorrow Man? Who is this guy?
Yeah, he's a convenient plot device bridge.
He's the,
and meanwhile,
he's
hindsight,
the Direwrath.
Yeah,
of course. But I'm thinking he's like he has some, almost has a unique costume, almost.
Yeah, and then hindsight lad signs up and gets everybody new costumes. Are going to reveal at the end where he dresses like a NASCAR driver now, which I guess is an improvement. And everyone else gets look, you can't change Turbo's outfit. Or Speedballs. I think they're part of their constituents. And Firestars looks pretty much the same. Maybe it's a little bit different. So basically,
I mean, Justice, it's got to be an improvement. That I was never really a big fan of that initial Justice outfit.
But it's reminiscent of it.
Yeah.
So the New Warriors are going to go, fix Rich's mistake. Because, he let the Direwrath go. But he insists they bring him along. And so, Alex Power is part of the team, but he doesn't want to be called Power Packs anymore because he feels guilty. That's his backstory for stealing his sibling's power, as well he should be.
I mean, that's what he does.
But they get fooled by this guy, and it doesn't go well, and they get kidnapped. And that's when we find out that Night Thrasher and Rage are training their old enemies to be the new warriors. Or the side warriors, the Pretty Persuasion and that whole crew.
If Fabian was writing this, I'd be like, oh, look, he's having two teams in one book again. But he's not in the book anymore. But yeah, that's a decent bit. And as you find out later on, like, he wires the New Warriors extra money and gives them the headquarters and everything. So he's being a nice guy anyway.
Yeah, he's being cool. But, Steve, you love this. Torpedo has the Direwrath sensing technology from those old issues.
Oh.
So she's able to rumble him in disguise as a computer console.
I forgot that she was, one of the tertiary members of the group here. So when she flew in on that first page and saved Rich, I immediately put two and two together of the Torpedo's history and was hoping that Skolnick... and Brevoort did as well, that it's like, there's a Direwrath, there's the Torpedo outfit. Do you know those two things are connected intimately? Sure
enough, didn't let you down.
Because the Wraith ends up getting, like, when they meet, the Wraith Queen is immediately, distracted and becomes kind of obsessed with getting Turbo suit, just like the Direwraths used to be, because back in ROM 21, 22-ish, in 1981, it was revealed that the Torpedo suit, even though it had been introduced in Daredevil and had gotten to ROM in a very serendipitous way, they ended up retconning that the suit was created by the Direwraths from Space Knight technology to use as a battle suit to defeat ROM. So that was the whole purpose of the suit, and that's why they had their flying rocketeers trying to get the suit all the time, and unfortunately the Torpedo was killed by the Direwraths in ROM 50, and now it's a legacy suit.
So she
doesn't know anything about the history.
No. But I did enjoy Zercher and Peepoy, like, they make the Direwrath Queen really horrific with, like, tentacles and
for
claws
sure.
and
for sure.
some nice
for
blasts sure. of Torpedo. Yeah, just a fun, well-executed issue. And like you say, their focus on her, well, they're going to end up letting Nova Omega free, and he's going to unload on the Skrull, and he kills her and blows everything up, except he doesn't really, because you see at the end she's disguised as a deer.
Yeah.
That part I liked. And Rich, meanwhile, stole
if it was a Skrull, it would have been a cow.
he steals some weaponry so he can threaten Nova Omega, but, you know, what does it matter? As Nova Omega points out, if you kill him, it's not like you can murder him to get your powers back from
Well, you could, but...
Well, Shira's not going to give the thing about it. And Tom's pointing out all these ROM issues in the footnotes. And then it ends with the new outfit and our new character again showing up in her little flashback. Yeah, so it's fun. And what's good for the listener at home is starting for 61, just for like 8 issues or so, the next few are on the Unlimited. So you can join along without spending any money. I mean, you have to be an Unlimited person, but I assume a lot of you are. I think it's totally worth that for all the issues.
It is.
But yeah, that was Nova Volume 1, but second series. I'm not... Like, look, like that one issue, I liked the new characters, but I was pretty... Good idea, just bad execution. Boys?
Nova.
Yeah, it's definitely an issue of execution. Like, I feel like there's definitely the kernel of some good ideas in there.
Rich was tested, and won every test... Yet, it was as good as losing all the tests because he got his powers taken away, even though we passed all the tests. But I thought of this series as just pretty much mindless fighting. Like,
yeah.
Nova versus Gladiator, Nova versus Spider-Man, Nova versus alternate Novas, Nova versus Condor, Shatterforce, Diamond Head, Rhino, the Inhumans, Kraw, and Supernova. One fight after another.
Well, if you want to see Nova, I would say read New Warriors rather than Nova's title specifically.
I mean, I'm hoping to get this on the Unlimited, because that would be fine to flip through them there and see them. And like I said, give me a Skullcat miniseries or something. Or like you said, Kevin, a little flashback of the little war with Diamond Head and Crime Buster and all those guys out fighting in space.
I mean, the way that some writers really like to dig up the past and, like, old Thunderbolts supporting characters, like, I would not be surprised if we saw Skullcat in an issue of Moon Knight or Jed McKay uses him somewhere.
I think it's a great character.
The whole series was worth it for me for the Dire Wrath and Turbo Torpedo thing and that ended up being a New Warriors 60.
But yeah,
it was worth reading that stuff that had nothing to do with the part I liked.
Yes.
Yeah. I like the continuity stuff.
See them, if they do another New Warriors omnibus, like, I don't know, maybe when they get a movie or a TV series or whatever, and then they'll have to, I mean, they could put both of the series together, like the 99 series, is it? Or they could find some other, like, guest appearances and put them together to make another omnibus.
All right. Well,
I don't know that there's a big clamor for it, but that's our... next episode, our 21st segment, we will be back full-time on New Warriors. Like I said, to go beyond the Unlimited. We can all read at home and enjoy and have a good old time together.
But who knows what the reading order will be? Because now they're in the Spider-Man group, and they're going to be in that Maximum Clonage era. And how they end the issue of 60 with Next. Everyone hates a clone.
Oh, boy. All right. Until I read this Nova series again, make mine Marvel.
Later.